Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church podcast. We're glad you've joined us to listen to a message from our pastor, Ashley Ellison. We believe God's word is powerful and that it can be applied to our lives so that we may live victoriously. Let's join Pastor Ashley now as he shares the word with us.
Luke chapter 2 says, "And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord showed around them, and they were greatly afraid. The angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger.' And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.' So it was, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, that the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." Never get tired of hearing the Christmas story. In verse 14 of Luke chapter 2, it says in the New Living Translation, "Glory to God in highest, in the highest heaven, the highest of high, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Today, I want you to know peace is available, but it is with whom? Those that have accepted him and who choose to follow Jesus, who was born to meet the requirements that allow us to have the peace that God wants for his people. Jesus provides peace for us physically, but also mentally and spiritually. So many have no peace in their life. And the sad thing is, as busy as Christmas season is, we should be the ones with the most peace. I pray today that as a Christian man and a Christian woman here today, that Jesus has given you truly that peace, because he has. The most important part is that you have accepted it and that you live in it. We need to pay attention to verse 20 here when it says, "The shepherds returned." The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. You know, when you meet Jesus, it ought to be a life. If you've encountered Jesus, it ought to be a lifelong, forevermore testimony of praising and glorifying God. That's what it should be. And if you're not, I just want in your mind for you to return to when you came to encounter him. I just believe the shepherds never came to a place in their life that they forgot that moment. It was always very present to them. I want to read a verse that really is just probably one of my favorite parts of this whole story, from the shepherds to us today here in 2024 at Christian Ministries Church this morning. 2 Corinthians 9:15. Short verse, only 8 words long. But here's what the Apostle Paul says: "Thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Some translations say, thanks be to God for his gift too wonderful for words. I love that. What kind of gift would you have to call it indescribable? You ever thought about that? Have you ever received a gift at Christmas or a birthday or just because you're you and somebody loves you that you can't describe? You can't. I mean, would it be a gift that you open and look and say, this is just not even describable? You would never do that. What makes the gift of Jesus indescribable? I mean, Paul called that gift, thanks be to God for the gift that's indescribable. What would make Jesus not be able to be described? Here's what I believe. I believe because he is more than just a physical gift. He is a spiritual gift for life. And he is a mental gift. I mean, we've got to calm these minds down. Thanks be to God for the gift that calms my mind. Thanks be to God for the gift that allows my spirit to be in right standing regardless of what happens in the physical world. There's not a gift better than Jesus. Paul is writing. He is writing them in chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians. He's writing them and he's talking about, before he gets to the indescribable gift, he's telling God's people, hey, we've got to take up an offering. Now, we already did that today, so no worries. But he's telling them, we're going to take up an offering for the Christians that they're really suffering and they're having a hard time. And so he's in the church and he's saying, we've got to help these poor Christians out. That's what Paul's talking about in 2 Corinthians, the first part of 9. But then he goes on and he shifts his attention in the second part of chapter 9, and he talks about let's move from giving human gifts to giving thanks for God's gifts. Yeah. And you know, there's just not a gift that you're going to be able to give someone that's comparable to the gift that God gave us in Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not saying don't give gifts, but Isaiah said that Jesus, the gift would be called Emmanuel, God with us. Yeah. God with us. How do you describe a spirit when all many people only see of Jesus is the physical? I mean, we talk about a babe lying in a manger. Praise God for that babe lying in a manger, but it means nothing without what he did so that we could have him as a gift. How do you describe God who is all-powerful? How do you describe a God who is eternal? Well, you can't. He's indescribable. Words aren't adequate. I mean, the wisest men in the world have tried to describe Jesus. Let me give you an illustration of some of the wisest theologians ever to live that tried to write down, they got together and they tried to describe Jesus in words. This was in 451 AD. Here's what they said. Listen closely. Perfect in Godhead and also perfect in manhood. Truly, man of a reasonable, rational soul and body. Consubstantial, coessential with the Father according to the manhood. In all things like us, like unto us, without sin. Begotten before all ages of the Father according to the Godhead. And in these latter times for us and for our salvation, born of the Virgin Mary, the Mother of God, according to the manhood, one and the same Christ, Son, Lord, only begotten to be acknowledged in two natures, inconfusedly, unchangeably, indivisibly, inseparably, and the distinction of natures being by no means taken away by the union, but rather the property of each nature being preserved. Did you understand any of that? I heard the Virgin Mary. I mean, I know he's unchangeable. I mean, I heard some things that kind of I understood, but really, that's the best man can do to try to describe the indescribable. The greatest minds, the greatest vocabularies didn't even adequately describe him. Confused most people. So, Paul said, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. What does Paul call Jesus? He calls Jesus indescribable, indescribable. He's indescribable. So here's what I'm going to do. Real quickly, I'm going to give you four things that describe him. You're going, you just said you can't. And you're right, I cannot describe him. Here's what I'm going to give you. The four things I'm going to give you is why he's indescribable. This is why he's indescribable. His nature, his purpose, the grace by which he is given, and because of his effect on us, all of those things are why he's indescribable. His nature is so beyond anything we've ever seen. He thinks different. He thinks correct all the time. His nature is perfect. He gave and gave and gave to people who don't care, who had oftentimes spit on him, and he still gave. He's indescribable. His nature makes him indescribable. Savior of the world, it's just impossible to describe him. Number two, he's indescribable because of his purpose. Savior of the world, it's just indescribable to try to explain why anybody would give of themselves like he did for a man that's so ungrateful. How can we describe that? Number three, because of the grace by which he has given and continues to give. You know, most every gift that I give this Christmas will be given because the recipient has some claim on me. Now, that may rub you wrong, but it's true. You may not even like the idea. The only reason you're getting a gift or you're giving a gift is because someone you're giving that gift to has a claim on you. They might call you dad. They might call you mom. They might call you brother, sister. They might call you friend. And so you might not like the idea, but I buy gifts for my children because, frankly, they're my children. And I buy gifts for my grandchildren because they're my grandchildren. I buy gifts for my family members because they're my family. See, they claim me and I claim them most of the time. I buy gifts for my wife. Who wouldn't? But here's the deal, it's because it's my wife. And she lays, I don't understand, but she lays claim to me. Some buy a gift for someone who isn't family, and it's because they bought you a gift and you know you have to. And some because you like them and I just want to give them. But all it's because you recognize that you have a debt to humanity and you feel an obligation to give someone a gift. Even if you're giving a gift to someone you don't even know, that would be the reason. I have an obligation. Are you hearing this? That's why we give gifts. Here's the thing that you need to understand. That's what makes God's gift so indescribable. He doesn't owe us anything. Come on, think about that. He owes us nothing, but he has a love for us that is indescribable. Oh, I like that. We give him no reason to love us oftentimes. And with that in mind, Paul says something remarkable in the fifth chapter of Romans. He says, while we were yet in our sin, while we were yet the enemies of God, Christ died on a cross for us. Not because he had to, but because he chose to, for even a people that was so ungrateful. Number four, and the last one today, is because he has an effect on us. I knew when I started talking that I would fail in an attempt to describe someone who's indescribable. The Apostle Paul looked at Jesus, and here's what he said. I can't describe him. I can't describe him. All I can do is fall on my knees and thank you, God, for this indescribable gift. And I guess that's what we each need to do if we never have. Fall on our knees and say, God, thank you for a gift that I can't describe, but I accept. Romans 10:9 says, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, from the dead. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Confess with your mouth, believe in your heart is what it takes to be saved, according to Romans 10:9. And the only reason why you can even do that is because he is holy. He is holy. He's without sin, without imperfection. Again, I find myself trying to describe someone who's indescribable. But holy is who he is. When we go around and we say, Merry Christmas, let me just explain this to you, because this song that we're getting ready to sing will be this. Merry is an old English word for mighty. Christmas, split up, is Christ. Christ is the anointed one, or you can say the holy one. And mus, or mass, means encounter. So you could say, Merry Christmas is the same as have a mighty, anointed encounter. Or you could say, may you all have a mighty encounter with the Holy One. A mighty encounter with the Holy One. If you haven't accepted Jesus, after they sing the song, our prayer team will be down front. And we'll dismiss the services, but please don't leave here without saying, I have had a mighty encounter with the Holy One. Merry Christmas.
Thank you for being part of our podcast today. You'll find more online messages from Christian Ministries Church, as well as location information on our website at cmchurch.net. There's a place for you at Christian Ministries Church, where it's more than a church, it's family.